Box Office Battle Season 2. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm Zach.
So today we're doing comic book movies starring Brandon Routh.
Routh. And these are comic book movies that don't involve Superman.
That's right. Good job on that, Zach.
Glad to help.
Superman Returns, kind of a flaming pile of shit.
A little bit. It turns out people don't like when Superman is a voyeur. My movie is Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
You forgot the colon in there.
No, there's no colon. Dylan Dog, Dead of Night. Not on the title card, my friend. Title card is Dylan Dog, underneath it, Dead of Night.
Everything I've read is Dylan Dog, colon, Dead of Night.
I think that is people taking it upon themselves to stylize.
What about you, Brandon?
And I'm going to be taking on Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Scott Pilgrim's colon versus the world. All right, so without delay, let's listen to the trailers.
Look around you. The monsters you read about as a kid, they're real. And the key to their survival is making sure none of us know they're here.
In the city that loves to party, just three blocks west of the French Quarter, lies a secret world.
Dylan!
Kill the lights.
Ah! You okay?
Where the crimes of the dead are investigated by one of the living, Detective Dylan Dog.
There was a pact among all the undead to appoint a single human as impartial inspector. Someone they could trust to protect them from themselves when one of their own crossed the line.
What is this? What is that?
You're the living dead, Marcus. The good news, the condition is, manageable.
This spring.
Don't scream.
What the hell is going on here?
Who's your friend, Dylan?
She's got some nice parts on her.
Not all the undead are bad.
Oh my God, what's wrong with my arm?
Relax, it's a loner.
My arm is brown!
They were out of Caucasian in your size.
But it's his job.
What the hell are you?
To find the ones that are.
What's up, Dylan?
Why don't you tell me why one of your boys killed a werewolf?
No, that's not one of my boys. Something took a bite out of this guy.
What killed my father?
So what's the plan?
No plan. Just bigger guns.
I think I just leaked something. Oh my God! I look like a dead hooker!
Oh, that's right. Not a big fan of silver, are you?
Zombie power.
Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
This is a zombie support group? Hi, I'm Marcus, and I'm dead.
What's up?
I'll leave you alone forever now.
You know this one girl with hair like this?
Yes, that's Ramona Flowers.
She's out of your league.
You know her? Tell me now.
She just moved here. Got a job at Amazon.
I have to order something really cool.
Scott, are you waiting for the package you just ordered?
Maybe.
Scott Pilgrim?
Hi, I was thinking about asking you out, but then I realized how stupid that would be.
That's okay. You need to sign for this, all right?
So do you want to go out sometime?
I say yes, will you sign for your damn package?
So yeah, 8 o'clock? Come to this Battle of the Bands thing.
You have a band.
Yeah, we're terrible.
One, two, three, four! Mr. Pilgrim! I'm Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What?
Wait, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
Mm-mm.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my seven evil exes.
So what you're saying is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Scott Pilgrim!
Prepare to feel the wrath of the League of Evil Exes.
Ramona dated twins.
At the same time?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott.
Combo!
Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
Scott!
doing?
Getting a life.
You want to fight me for her? Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Maybe next time we don't date the girl with 11 evil ex-boyfriends.
7.
Oh, that's not that bad.
The first thing I've got here is Brandon Routh, starring as the titular Dylan Dog. He's doing a bit of a Tom Cruise thing in this movie, and it works insofar as he gets to sort of be charming, but he also plays the strong, silent type. He covers a lot of ground in what type of character Dylan Dog is. But much like all heroic action stars, he has a dark past. Things have gone wrong, and he had to walk away from his job. Dylan Dog specializes as a investigator of the paranormal. And
but he's 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has this long, tortured past, but
he's
20.
And he's 26. Yeah. And the big thing with Dylan Dog is that he is now retired, and he's just taking normal run-of-the-mill PI cases. But he gets dragged in by a beautiful girl for one last job. Sound familiar? What do we love on this podcast and the Not Safer Network in general more than one last job? This is right in our wheelhouse.
So you touched on Brandon Routh. Brandon Routh is a minor character in my movie. He's one of the members of the League of Evil Exes. There are 7 Evil Exes. He's number 3, which he proudly has a shirt. It's white with black letters that says 3 on it. He is a vegan douchebag with the...
Is there any other kind?
No, like he steps the vegan douchebag up to another level.
It is to the point that it gives him special powers.
There's got to be somebody in DC that he is really ripping off of, like a Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah. Like he can control things with his mind and levitate and...
Well, I'm going to push my glasses up my nose real quick and get my nerd on. The DC equivalent of Dr. Manhattan is, of course, famously Captain Atom, who was bought from Charlton Comics, who were, of course, the characters of Charlton Comics were supposed to be the original characters of Watchmen until DC editorial nixed the idea, forcing Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons to come up with sort of archetypes who fill those roles, and so Dr. Manhattan is essentially just a ripoff of Captain Atom, the DC character. Nathaniel Atom, the Air Force pilot.
He just pushed up his glasses again.
Well played, sir. Well played.
You gotta.
If only we had an intern here who would push up your glasses for you.
I know.
We're working on it.
Anyway, he plays this vegan douche that can basically levitate and has force fields in his mind, glowing, flaming eyes.
He has Dragon Ball Z hair.
Yeah, he has the Eminem bleach blonde hair.
I just heard Dragon Ball Z hair.
The most unlikable person in the entire cast of this movie.
Kind of fitting from one of the worst Superman movies outside of part 3 and 4.
One of the things I really enjoy about Dylan Dog is its building of the mythology of the undead. The undead are primarily represented by 3 groups: vampires, werewolves, and zombies.
Although I will correct you on this, the Lycanth are not undead.
That's true. Although in the context of the film, they are considered the undead.
Yes.
Yeah, because the way the film defines undead is slightly different in that it doesn't mean, in the context of the film, undead doesn't mean was dead and brought back to life. It means
supernatural.
Immortal, essentially.
Supernatural.
Yeah. So I love the mythology that goes into it, especially towards the right at the beginning of the 3rd act of the movie. Dylan Dog visits an 800-year-old Italian vampire who's one of his oldest informants, and they go through this long exposition where they sort of explain the history of the big MacGuffin of the movie and what it means for the world if they don't get it first. And there's so much depth and thought and care put into building out these mythologies and the reasons for the wars between, and even to the little details like how vampires have sort of sustained their popularity by turning their blood into a drug that people get high off of. There's a lot of these little details that give the world a fullness that it might not have otherwise, including the fact that the undead intentionally all reside in New Orleans because it's the American city where they're least likely to get noticed because spooky shit happens all the time. time, and even if somebody sees them, they can play it off as somebody being drunk or on drugs.
I wanted to give the full list of the League of 70 X's. And it was funny because in the trailer, they played out the League of Seven X's. And throughout the fourth X, he says ex-boyfriends.
and Ramona is, of course, constantly correcting him. X's.
Which, you know, they're totally playing the pronoun game where one of them happens to be a woman.
Oh, nice. I forgot about that little detail.
The first one, which was a seventh grade crush that lasted a couple of days, and he's basically kept on. The second one is played by none other than Captain Fucking America.
In possibly my favorite performance in the movie. He plays Lucas Lee, of course, the skateboarder turned movie star.
As dumb as a doornail.
He might have the best facial hair in movies.
When you say Captain America, are you talking about 1990s America?
Yeah, Matt Salinger.
No, I'm talking about Chris fucking Evans.
Chris fucking Evans.
Right, I'm just checking.
The masshole himself.
The other seven X's, we have the Yamagashi twins who can play keyboard and summon dragons with
their dope music.
Now, two like twins count as an X?
And well, twins!
They were 5 and 6 on the list.
Yes.
So there was a lot of innuendo that got like, it was at the twins! Same time. So we're not quite sure how that played out, but there was a lot of guesses.
I have some thoughts.
Everybody's got some thoughts.
I think they might have built the Eiffel Tower, is all I'm saying.
Have you seen Doom Generation? A movie we'll probably never cover a box office battle.
God, I hope not.
Because my soul can't take it.
I hope not. As if I'm gonna definitely make an incomplete on that one.
Just right out of the gate.
And the final number 7, Evil X, Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
Plays Gideon.
Which, by the way, Gideon is a perfect douchebag name. Nice people aren't named Gideon. They just aren't.
I have to disagree. There's one character I can think of named Gideon on Criminal Minds.
Well, I already have a counter to that. That Gideon's fake, which means the writer got to change the rules. In life, Gideons are douchebags.
Keep putting Bibles in dresser.
I guess they do some nice things. Bible paper make for great rolling paper. That is like the most blasphemous thing I've ever said in my life.
So 4 beers before the podcast, great idea.
Awesome idea. Zach's going to start taking shots at things.
You got a counter, Zach?
Not a counter so much as I want to talk about the best part of this movie. And the best part of this movie is Sam Huntington, who is re-teaming with Brandon Routh. Sam Huntington played Jimmy Olsen in Superman Returns.
Oh, okay.
But in this, he's fantastic. And I think part of it is me projecting because that character is basically me if I was in that situation. So he comes on basically complaining that Brandon Routh is a dick to him and won't let him be his partner at the detective agency Brandon Routh has. And eventually, his job is to serve as someone who is increasingly bewildered by everything that's happening around him, someone who is constantly cracking jokes, and someone who does not have the skill set for the situations they're in, who is constantly just like, no, I'm not doing that. That's the stupidest thing you've ever said to me. No,
eat
I'm
worms?
Not.
No fucking way.
Dig out of this coffin. No, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's me. I just would be stubborn and obstinate and cracking wise. And he really sells it. He sells it in an awesome way. He has all the best lines in the movie. He has probably the most interesting plot of the movie. I mean, everything good in this movie runs through Sam Huntington, and you can feel the movie miss him when he's not on screen.
So his name is Sam Huntington in this?
Huntington is the actor.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the character's name in Game of Thrones who you put yourself
Sam
on?
Tarly?
So if their name is Sam, you're just like...
On board.
You're just like, I could see myself as that guy.
Well,
Samwise?
Samwise Ganji?
Sam Tarly? I don't see myself as equal to so much as I see myself as better than.
Okay, I gotta check. Lord of the Rings, Samwise?
Not my boy. Merry is my boy.
Cheers, Sam?
Nope, not my boy.
Not your boy.
I mean, I like him, but he's not the guy I see myself as.
You'd be
as.
More the guy cheering on Sam.
I'd be the guy in the back of the bar vacillating back and forth between these guys are hilarious and these guys are really ruining this night for me.
Yeah, I think
that's the guy I'd be.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd connect with Kelsey Grammer's character.
Frasier?
Yeah.
By the way, my brother, I remember having one conversation with him and him thinking of, like, we were comparing ourselves to Cheers characters and he's like, I think he'd be Sam. And I was like, I'd be Norm. Like,
are you kidding me? Bitch?
Like, I love that my brother sees me as Sam. That's great. But I'm
I mean,
like,
isn't that
no.
what every brother wants their brother to see them as? Like, I want my brother to see me as a leading man.
That'd be great. Yeah. But I picture myself more as a dude who let himself go on the bar commenting on things and cracking jokes.
Yeah. And it's a, like a comment or a toss up. Between Cliff or Frasier.
Oh, for you?
Yeah.
You are not Cliff. You are not nearly airbaggery enough.
No. That's it, too. You pointed out the highlights of your movie. I'm going to talk about some of the lowlights.
Of mine?
Of your movie. What really, like, pushed me out of your movie watching it was his commentary throughout, and they're trying to do like a film noir
oh God,
feel
I know
through
the
it.
Narration so bad. You're
and
right.
He, because you, and he just, the way he talks, he's like, you feel like you're missing an entire movie that leads up to it that is just like, you know me.
There is a reason in film school they tell you not to use narration, and this movie is that reason.
And that was like the like one thing that really pulls you out of this movie is like, you know, I don't know that about you.
Thankfully,
you haven't shown me anything up to this point that this is what your character is about.
Thankfully, the narration is mostly at the beginning and end of the movie. There isn't as much in the middle,
and
so I almost forgot about it for a while.
And to be fair, they as the movie goes on, they bring that
they back do connect it back. It's just jarring
but,
at the beginning.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I mean, I can't even deny that. I mean, I could, but I'd be a fucking liar.
Interesting.
Listen, you know what? If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with dignity because losing without dignity didn't make me feel any better the last times it happened. This movie, has Dylan Dog being this movie, has gorgeous scenery from the shots that are actually in New Orleans. I mean, there's some stuff that's obviously sets and sound stages and all that, but the actual shooting in New Orleans stuff looked great. In fact, the whole look of the movie was very clean.
It was very clean.
Strongly directed. Everything is laid out in such a way that it's easy to follow. There's a lot of fun visual tricks, especially involving the use of sunlight with the vampires. There's a lot of cool stuff they do there. There's some really stylized action sequences that look really cool, although if you think about what's happening in one in particular, it does not make a whole lot of sense. But it really brings an aesthetic that rounds out the whole thing. It almost has... Do you guys remember the terrible Hugh Jackman movie, Van Helsing?
Yes.
I didn't actually get to see that one.
You don't.
Yeah, that's what I heard, so I didn't bother.
This movie sort of nails the aesthetic that one was going for, where it has that glossy Hollywood sheen while harkening back to both film noir in this specific film's case and the greater monster movie history with the way it's shot and lit and colored.
Yeah, and they had a lot of stuff where they brought in like old vampire, world sort of feel
old
to it.
Old relics, absolutely. And so where Van Helsing came off looking very plastic and rubbery and fake, this comes off feeling a lot more lived in and well-worn and real, and it really nails that that balance between being glossy and professional in Hollywood while not losing sort of the nuance and the grit that it has been lost in other films of this genre.
So I'm going to talk to you here personally about a little film. As the judge here, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a film.
All right.
With the Queen soundtrack.
Yeah.
Not Highlander.
Flash Gordon.
That would be the one.
Yeah, I didn't realize you wanted an answer from me. I'm sorry. It's the only other Queen soundtrack movie.
Outside of Highlander, it is the Queen soundtrack movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, the way you phrase it. If you don't think about the other one, this is the Queen soundtrack movie.
I would go as far as to say as it is the Queen soundtrack movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, Highlander fans. I love Highlander 2.
Soundtrack's not.
No, I don't love Highlander 2. Let me rephrase that. I love Highlander.
I also have it on a record that
I do not.
That you do not love Highlander 2. Yeah,
in this podcast, particularly,
there's no bad scene in Flash Gordon. At least, like, the scenes that are bad are so bad.
There's no
good.
Non-entertaining scene in Flash Gordon.
Exactly.
So there is a scene in this movie where. There is a specific noise that harkens back. The noise with the Ming's ring.
Yeah.
Where Gideon has a, like, mind control over Ramona. And that's that particular sound. And I was just, I loved that scene. Like, out of all, like, the entire movie, that one sound made my entire day today.
This movie has possibly one of the coolest MacGuffins I've ever seen in a movie. The MacGuffin is an item called the Heart, which is a sort of silver cross with a blood red gem right in the center, and the bottom end of the cross has a knife in it. And this is the thing everyone's after in the film, and we slow throughout the film we learn more and more information about it, what it does. And I was really drawn to this thing first because it has a really cool aesthetic. It has a lot of that.
It's basically a old fashioned.
Yeah, it looks medieval
cross.
Yeah. Like a Celtic cross. It has that look.
Not a
it.
Celtic cross.
It has a similar look in like
no,
the twining. It has like
it's
the
like
twining,
a fleur-de-lis type of cross.
Totally, but within it has like that twisting metal look. In any case, it looks old-timey and that's good enough. Then we start to learn more about it, which is that it's called the Heart because that blood red gem holds the blood of Belial, who is a demonic figure who in the Bible has either, especially modern translations, has been wiped out because Belial is...
I think the modern translation is Baal.
Well, it is, but a lot of the references are wiped out in the Bible because Belial is two Hebrew words brought together that essentially mean worthless or worthlessness. And so a lot of the references to Belial in the Bible have been replaced with worthless man or lawless man or things like that. And then the other ones have been conflated to just make Belial synonymous with Satan, essentially. And so a lot of those have been replaced. And so to dive into that mythology is really cool. But essentially this item, the heart, this metal cross, has his blood in it because Belial is an undead being who cannot be destroyed within the mythology of Dylan Dog, Dead of Night. And so we have this MacGuffin that they're trying to get because everyone wants the blood of Belial because it allows them to basically find an undead host, stab it
not
into
Lacanth.
Them. Not Lacanth. It must be a vampire. Specifically, or a zombie might work, but they don't really get into it.
Yeah, I had that whole thought.
To mean vampire.
Yeah,
And it allows Belial to take over this host, and so in this MacGuffin, you have a really beautiful thing to look at, which to me, part of a good MacGuffin is having a great visual signature.
An interesting piece.
Exactly.
In
something that draws your eye. It has a cool history. It has cool powers, and it can be used as a weapon. As far as MacGuffin goes, you're going to have a hard time doing much better than that.
So you talked about an incredibly beautiful thing in being this MacGuffin.
Are you going to talk about Anna Kendrick now? Is that where this is going? An incredibly beautiful thing?
Okay, there is a few beautiful things in this cast. One being Anna Kendrick.
Thank you.
One being Aubrey Plaza.
Sure.
And the third is Ramona Flowers.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead herself.
She is gorgeous in this movie. And she gets down to a bra and panties, and her skin looks wonderful.
All I know is the blue hair thing works. Blue hair with goggles? I didn't know that
the
was
the blue hair
that
and goggles. The green hair with goggles.
Goggles. It turns out colored hair and goggles is a look that works. Ladies, if you're listening to this and you're trying to attract a boy who won't pay attention to you,
and you're trying to look like Link from Zelda, you're making it work.
You're going to be okay. If there's a boy who is not paying attention to you, color your hair and wear goggles for no reason. It will work. Double points if you're roller skating around town.
You both made compelling arguments. I have.
Have I? I'm not so sure that I did.
I have some questions. So one thing not really touched on, but I know because I've seen it. Brandon's movie has elements of video games, pretty heavy elements of video games within his movie. Would your movie work if they had tied in video games into it?
If you added video games to this movie, it would mostly be confusing. However, if this movie was a video game, it would fucking rule.
It's basically Castlevania.
It is essentially Castlevania.
your movie was a video game, if you switch it with lycanthropes and undead, would your movie work?
I think it would add a really interesting level to this movie.
Level, good pun. I like that.
Because you have, I mean, Japanese dragons in this movie. Yeah. You have a King Kong or like a Donkey Kong, King Kong. They talk about Pac-Man. So if they brought like Castlevania undead levels, I think it would have added an interesting level to this movie.
Zach, is your movie based off of any kind of previous source material?
Yes, it's based off an Italian comic.
How would you rate this as one of Edgar Wright's films? Do we have three to work off of?
We've got
four. I think we've got four, right?
Including this one. We have four.
Yes. So you've got Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. What was the bar one? The World's End, right?
I mean, all of them are the bar one.
Right.
Except for Scott Pilgrim, actually.
Yeah. I would put this number three on my list of Edgar Wright movies.
What's number four?
The World's End.
Okay, good. Because if you said Hot Fuzz,
no,
problems were going to
happen. That's probably my number one.
Attaboy, high five. We found common ground today.
I can't ride with you there, but I got to go
show
you.
I love that movie in so many ways.
Yeah, I do too. It's my
I can sit down and watch Hot Fuzz before I'd watch Shaun of the Dead.
Have you ever shot your gun into the sky while screaming?
Well, I do got to say I agree with you, except for number one and two, I would switch. But okay, that's a pretty good answer. All right, I think I've heard enough here. Your movie sounds compelling. It sounds like I want to watch it, but you just keep sticking up for Scott Pilgrim over and over again, Zach. So it makes me think that Scott Pilgrim is the winner here, and that's how I'm going to rule.
You made the right choice.
So how good is your movie? I got to go incomplete on that. Scott Pilgrim, I'm going to go satisfactory plus. I really enjoyed it, but not to the degree where I felt that I needed to rewatch it yet. I'm sure it'll happen eventually. But like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, like I've watched those two so many times. Scott Pilgrim, I watched and I laughed, and I kind of want to revisit it, but I don't know when. Like, it could be years from now. So, you know, it's definitely like a good movie, but I wouldn't quite put it in the excellent framing.
I would also give Scott Pilgrim a satisfactory plus, and it is definitely a rewatchable movie because I rewatched it today and probably liked it as much or more than when I watched it the first time. One cast member,
Kieran Culkin,
was hilarious.
He's so good as Wallace.
In this movie.
He's so good.
And it's funny because I kept thinking about scenes from this movie like going through my head. And I can't remember where they're from. And I'm rewatching it today. I'm like, oh, yes, he is hilarious in this movie. I'm almost talking myself into it. I'm going to go excellent minus. I'm going to change my answer and go with excellent minus. I like this movie a lot more than I thought I remember watching it on rewatch. So excellent minus. Dylan Dog, Dead of Night. I'm going to have to go unsatisfactory plus. The narration in this movie really just is so jarring. It makes you feel dumber as watching this movie. Like, it's not one of those movies where, and I haven't read the comics that this movie's based on.
Oh, you don't read Italian?
I don't. But if it makes you feel like you're dumber for not having known some backstory that's part of this movie. I mean, even though they, like I said earlier, they bring some of this back, but there's still like throw off comments that he makes about his character that he's doing in such a way that it really jars you out of it.
It's janky exposition.
Yes.
Well, I'll just tell you, reading the comics will not help. This movie.
You don't speak Italian either, Zach?
I have read the comics, English translations, of course, because I don't read Italian. They're not like this movie. I'll go Scott Pilgrim first. Now, see, Biggs, you caught on to this. I'm going to rate it higher than both of you. Excellent plus. Love this movie. Every time I watch it, love it more. Love every character. Love every performance. I even love the little details. You mentioned the sound that brought you so much joy. The little detail that brought me a ton of joy the first time I watched it and every time since is when Scott Pilgrim goes to pee and you see his pee meter go down. Just fucking slays me every time. I adore this movie. I love it so much. Anytime it's on TV, I will watch it from wherever it's at. I love this movie. I was actually kind of upset when I pitched Dylan Dog and you gave that as the rebuttal. Because like, oh, God damn it. Now I have to argue against Scott Pilgrim. I was not pleased.
That
I love this movie.
That happens a lot.
It really does. I almost walk into it in a lot of ways because I pitch something, especially when I'm against Brandon. I pitch something and Brandon's like, great, I'll do this movie you love. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
How would you rank Dylan Dog Dead of Night?
Dylan Dog Dead of Night, I would give a needs improvement minus. It needs work. There's a lot of things about this movie that don't work. The design of the werewolves looks like what would happen if a Klingon fucked a Sasquatch.
It's basically the same CGI they use for the TV show Buffy.
I was going to say, it might be the same CGI from Van Helsing. It's
These are not high praise.
Brandon
marks.
Routh, I really like him as a person, and I've seen him in things where I've liked him, like Scott Pilgrim. He is very wooden in this movie, with the exception of a few moments where you can see he's really having fun. But for the most part, he's asked to be this sort of stoic, restrained detective that it doesn't take advantage of the things Brandon Routh does well. There are a lot of problems with this movie. The final action sequence, I talked about the direction and how good it was. And for most of the movie, it is very good. The final fight scene, I could not tell what the fuck was happening visually. I had no idea what was going
on. You know, there was another thing that kind of really bothered me about that movie was the big giant guys. They never really explain.
They talk about that's part of the Sam Huntington plot when he goes to the zombie support group and he talks about these big ripped monster zombies, and they're like, no, we've been zombies for years. We thought those were just legends. They always said they lived at the power plant outside of town. They don't give you too much detail about what specifically they are, but my theory, my sort of headcanon about what happened is that they are zombies who had previously gotten high off of vampire blood or were addicts to the vampire blood. In any case, there's a lot of things that are sort of go unexplained that you need answers for. That said, there are a lot of things about this movie that work. I'm biased to a degree in that I love detective shit. Like, if you get a detective involved, I'm in. I'm just always in. I love watching detectives do things.
I'm excited when you hear the Who being queued up.
I really do. I really enjoyed the look of the movie, like I mentioned. I cannot speak highly enough about Sam Huntington. I think
he was a really riveting character.
So charismatic.
He was the one, like, when he was off screen, it was a tragedy.
Yeah, the movie hurts when he's not there. He's so good. He has far and away the best plot in the movie. He has chemistry with everyone he has a scene with.
And there were scenes with him that were just hilarious.
Laugh riots. Like when, so he gets shot early on in the movie and
By Dylan Dog.
By Dylan Dog, and it's right after Dylan Dog takes him out of the morgue and tells Sam Huntington that he's a zombie now, that he's undead. And there's so much humor that's mined from that. Like Dylan Dog explaining that he can't eat human food anymore. He has to eat maggots and worms or just not eat. There's a lot of great visual gags in this movie. This movie is pretty funny. It's not a laugh riot, but it's pretty funny.
So fill those seats so we don't have to.
Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do, does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a
threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman, like, running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here. It's
family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh, God, where am I? Oh, guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm going to have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you going to wear that hat?
I'm just going to take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can I just say,
washes them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.